This is Morning Edition on New England Public Media. I'm Carrie Healy. The short documentary Ashes to Ashes tells two stories. One, a friendship between a doctor from Amherst, Massachusetts, and a New Haven man who became an artist decades after he survived being lynched. Their story in the film coincides with a funeral service for thousands of Black Americans who didn't survive. New England Public Media's Jill Kaufman has our story, which contains graphic descriptions of violence.
A few years ago, Shirley Jackson Whitaker followed through on something she'd long thought about, holding a funeral service for the more than 4,000 African Americans who were lynched and died between 1877 and 1950. In fear of further violence, many Black families weren't able to give their loved ones funerals.
I always feel that funerals are not only for the living, but they're for the dead too. And when I read about, think about people who have been lynched, a lot of them never got their ashes to ashes. And I was determined to correct that.
Whitaker is a physician and an artist. At a church in Springfield, Massachusetts in 2016, she held that funeral. It began with a horse-drawn hearse carrying a simple casket to the church. A few hundred people came, and they were given slips of paper as they entered with either names of the dead or the words, unnamed Negro. From the podium, Whitaker led the congregants through the beginning of the service.
There's an African proverb that says, you speak my name and I will live forever. So tonight we will speak some names.
My name is Nasir and I'm representing Hamlet.
One by one, people stood up. Some were actors.
My name is Mary Turner. I was the 19-year-old pregnant wife of the wonderful Hayes Turner.
My name is Lyman Thomas.
The documentary Ashes to Ashes features the funeral, and it's also about a friendship between Whitaker and Winfred Rembert, who survived a lynching. He and his wife, Patsy Rembert, now live in New Haven. All three are originally from Georgia and have become good friends.
You pick cotton before?
You know it. We used to pour water in there, but they got hip to that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Only thing way more, put a brick in it.
Did you do that?
Yeah.
Rembert grew up poor. His family picked cotton. He picked cotton. The inequality he saw as a teenager in the 1960s pushed him to join the civil rights movement. One time, he fled a demonstration. He was arrested and put in jail for a year without charges. In 1967, he managed to break out by stuffing up a toilet with a roll of paper, causing a flood. But he was caught, and he was thrown into the trunk of a car.
About a 30-minute ride, and when they opened up the trunk, I saw these ropes hanging from the tree, nooses, a place designed to look like to hang people. Then they put the rope up around my feet, pulled me up in the tree.
And a deputy approached him with a knife.
And he come up and he grabbed my private parts. And he took his knife and he stuck me. They was going to castrate me and then hang me and burn me. I was 19 years old. And there I am bleeding like a pig hanging up in the tree, ready to be slaughtered like a hog.
But they didn't kill him. Instead, he was taken down and made an example, Rembert says. They put him in jail and on a chain gang until 1974. Rembert says he didn't tell his wife or anyone about the lynching until 30 years later. It was at that time, much to his own surprise, people started paying attention to his art. Rembert uses leather tooling skills he says he learned in prison. He's carved and painted numerous pieces featuring Black people living their lives in cafes, on shopping days, in fields picking cotton, being lynched. He's been slowly working on a series.
I'm telling a story about my life, and it's going to take 50 pictures to do it. I got 8 done.
For some, telling your story is healing. Not for Rembert, he says. He doesn't think he can be healed.
Even though those things were done to me years ago, they're still holding me back. Can I send a message? Can I change this? I can't change this world. I know I'm not a big enough man to do that, but I can put a dent in it.
As a doctor, Whitaker's purpose is to heal people. She's not Rembert's physician, but she says she sees how the lynching and PTSD have harmed him. He's been hospitalized frequently, she says. Even in just the last few months, Rembert rarely sleeps through the night. He has diabetes, hypertension.
You know, there's quick death and there's slow death. So I consider he's still in the process of being lynched.
And lynching, it continues in other forms, Whitaker says. Now it looks like what happened to George Floyd and so many other Black men and women.
This brutality, being terrorized. And you never have your circadian rhythm because you constantly living under some form of stress. I have a son, a Black son in America. I have this always, this smothering fear that I'm gonna get a call, that he'll be taken away with a snap. And think of Black families living with that fear, constant. It's real.
The documentary was finished well before Floyd was killed by police last May and before the U.S. Capitol was seized in January by a mob, among them known white supremacists. For Black people to ever live equally in the U.S., Whitaker says this nation has to recognize its wound, then clean it. Ashes to Ashes was directed by Taylor Reese. It was considered for a 2021 Oscar, but it didn't make the final nomination list. It can be streamed for free, and Whitaker says she doesn't care if they don't make a penny from it.
These bodies and these souls, and let us forever remember and reflect upon the lives that have been nameless and unknown.
For New England Public Media, I'm Jill Kaufman.
Ashes to ashes, dust to dust.
And tomorrow we hear about an effort to make reparations to the families of lynching victims. That's on Morning Edition on New England Public Media.